are here at the 2018 ACUC in Beantown, Boston, Massachusetts, home of the Red Sox, the Patriots, the Celtics, the Bruins, the hockey team, and a myriad of other sports teams.
I'm from St. Louis, so we're just going to leave that there.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry for losing your football team, because I'm from San Diego, and we lost our team, too.
We have something in common.
Exactly. Kindred spirits we are, Ryan. Kindred spirits. All right, we are here with Ryan Donovan from CUNA and Chief Advocacy Officer. And the show hasn't even started yet, and here you are in the studio lounge. Welcome.
I know what my priorities are.
Well, thank you.
And my priority is to be with you.
Wow, thank you. I appreciate that. Very cool stuff. Hey, we got a few little items here on the docket.
We put together a list.
We have S.2155, an update from Mr. Ryan Donovan. What's the latest with S.2155?
It's the numbers law of the land.
Sure sounds like it.
We win.
Yay!
No, it's great. The president signed it last month, and now it's going into effect. NCUA has promulgated regulations that exempt 1-4 family non-owner occupied residential loans from the MBL cap. It's freeing up billions of dollars of MBL space so that credit unions can do more loans for their members. I just talked to a credit union CEO here at the conference. He told me they're about ready to hire two new business loan officers. It's fantastic. It's helping communities, and it's just the beginning. We just sent a letter to the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection, formerly known as the CFPB. Now it's the BCFP. But we sent
a lot of acronyms, Ryan.
I'll tell you what. And when they change it, it's even, it's hard to keep up with. But we sent a letter up just yesterday encouraging them to move forward on rulemaking to implement S-2155. Mm-hmm. There's things that they need to change with respect to HMDA, with respect to the qualified mortgage rule and other the Senior Safe Act and other provisions in the legislation. Mm-hmm. And once they do that, then credit unions are really going to see some relief as a result of the work that we all put in over the last several years.
Yeah, that was a big win. And like you said, this is just the beginning, right?
That's right. And now we're working with members of Congress to try to put together a second tranche of regulatory relief. There's a lot of things going on in Washington right now that are going to complicate that, but we've got to continue to move forward with this. We've got to let's take the momentum that we created through S-2155 and try to get even more done. Our goal is to revolutionize the regulatory environment for credit unions, and we started that with S-2155, and we're going to keep pushing it.
Right on. Hey, let's talk about item number two on the docket here, ADA.
Yeah.
ADA litigation with credit unions. What's the latest there?
Well, the good news is that credit unions are winning more cases than they're losing.
I've been seeing that,
In the ADA. The bad news is that the underlying public policy issue hasn't been resolved. And the issue with the Americans with Disabilities Act is that there isn't any formal guidance or rulemaking related to website accessibility. And credit unions want their members to be able to access their website. They want to be accessible to folks. But it's not clear in the regulation, because there isn't a regulation, what they need to do in order to do that. And that has opened up a space for the plaintiff's bar and one law firm really in particular to come in and try to make a lot of money off the backs of credit unions. Mm-hmm. And frankly, they're going after a lot of small credit unions that are pretty vulnerable.
Right.
But we're standing with credit unions that want to fight the cases. We are. We've engaged the Justice Department on this. We had, within the last couple of weeks, conversations with the White House regarding this. And last week, 100 members of Congress wrote the Justice Department to encourage them to do rulemaking. So we're trying to address the underlying issue while at the same time standing with credit unions that are fighting. And we're going to do that throughout the whole process. This is something that, frankly, could go to the Supreme Court in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And we'll be there.
Yeah, indeed. And this not only affects credit, it affects a number of industries.
Well, that's just it. A lot of times when something like this happens, we'll see it in other issues too. It's impacting us, so we think it's just us, but it's not. I mean, they went after Domino's, they've gone after hotels and others. We have a little bit of a unique issue in that we have a field membership regulations, and a lot of times the plaintiffs that they find to be the face of the lawsuit don't qualify for membership of the credit union, and that's helped in a number of cases. But we're not the only target in this type of litigation.
Wouldn't it benefit everybody if we had some regulation in there, some sort of guidelines to follow, some sort of contemporary guidelines to follow, so, that would benefit everybody, all parties?
You know, one of the things I love about my job is that it's rarely boring, right? Always interesting. And we had a situation last October, where we went to the Justice Department and basically said, guys, this is going to sound crazy, but what we need the Trump administration Justice Department to do is to finalize a rulemaking process that was begun by the Obama administration. So yes, we want a rulemaking, and the Obama administration started this, and we're not going to do that. And I understand why. I mean, when the sort of the underlying premise of the administration is to reduce regulatory burden, there's not a lot of eagerness to promulgate new regulations. I get that. The problem that we face is that this is an area of law where there is a gap. And we need that gap to be filled. Now, if they agreed to do the rulemaking, I am confident that we would engage in that rulemaking to make sure that it wasn't overly burdensome for credit unions.
Sure, sure.
But we need to get that process started.
I agree. I totally agree with you. And speaking of the Supreme Court, a little bit of news came down the turnpike a day or so ago. Justice Kennedy is retiring. So we were talking before the recording, this could have some ramifications on our industry. How so?
Well, I think it complicates the remainder of the congressional schedule. So here we are, we're in the middle of June, we're 4 or 5 months away from an election that could bring about change to Congress, to the control of Congress. So already we had a situation where we knew that the legislative calendar was going to be condensed, mm-hmm. and it was going to be complicated because the election's out there.
Right.
Now you add in the Supreme Court vacancy, you're going to have a nomination, you're going to have a big fight about whether the Senate's going to be able to consider the nomination. Mm-hmm. I think it significantly complicates getting anything done this year. So in one respect, I'm really glad we got S-2155 done when we did.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
No doubt.
But as we look at regulatory relief, as we look at, some of the changes we'd like to see with respect to executive compensation, the excise tax on executive mm-hmm. compensation, mm-hmm. There's the defense authorization bill that we're engaged in. Those things will get harder to do as we get closer to the election,
because mm-hmm. that's not really on our representatives' priority. Their priority is to get reelected, and then they can start doing other stuff again.
You know, we're in a bicameral. We have a bicameral legislature, and if the Senate shuts down over this nomination, it's going to make it very difficult to pass law.
Okay, well, we'll be hanging on pins and needles on that, or not hanging, but sitting on pins and needles on that one. So.
Exactly.
Got to get our analogies right.
Don't hang on the pins and needles.
That's dangerous. That's even more dangerous than sitting on them. All right, last item on the agenda here, Craninger, the new nominee for the CFPB or whatever they're called now.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, and prior to yesterday, probably the biggest nomination that was going to come to the Senate for the remainder
exactly.
of the year, right? Here's the thing. For credit unions, where we are right now is it is in our best interest to have a permanent director at the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection. Mm-hmm. And the president has nominated one, and we would like to see that nomination considered. Mm-hmm. As a trade association, we have historically not taken a position on presidential nominees, but we know that these agencies function better when there's permanent leadership there. Mm-hmm. And so we hope the Senate will consider the nomination. Mm-hmm. That solves about half the problem. The bigger problem at the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection isn't the fact that there is an interim leader. It's the fact that there isn't a bipartisan commission running the Bureau. So we're going to continue to push Congress to consider installing a bipartisan multi-member commission there.
Good for you.
This is something that President Obama supported. Mm-hmm. It's something that Senator Warren supported. They walked away from it when it was convenient to do so, when they got a better deal in 2009. The Republicans I just read an article that was published in 2011 quoting Senator Graham and quoting others about how, you know, when Cordray was nominated, they didn't want to consider the Cordray nomination because they wanted a bipartisan commission. Republicans have supported the bipartisan commission only to walk away from it when it was politically convenient to do so. We need to take the politics out of the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection. And the way to do that, ironically, is to put members of both parties on a commission to run the agency. Once you do that, you take the politics out of it, and it can work for consumers. But in the meantime, getting a permanent director there, someone who understands how to run a large agency, someone who is sensitive to over-regulation, wants to reduce regulation, that's the best thing for credit unions right now.
And what is, I don't know if I want to ask your take on Craninger, but what's the general consensus on...
Well, her experience at OMB suggests that she brings some management experience that would be helpful. Mm-hmm. She also has history from having worked at the Department of Homeland Security when it stood up that could be beneficial at the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection. You know, keep in mind, the Bureau is still a very, very young government agency. And so they're still going through some of the initial growing pains. Mm-hmm. And so her experience from the Department of Homeland Security could be beneficial there. The other thing I think that she brings to the Bureau would be experience from having worked in the Senate, where she worked on the Appropriations Committee. And in a position like that, you get exposure to all aspects of the government. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that's good general knowledge to have.
Indeed. And one last question. I lied. I have one more question for you. And this one's way more important than any of the items we covered. What's your World Cup pick?
Wow. I say vamos Colombia.
There you have it. Colombia all the way. Ryan Donovan, always a pleasure,
good
sir.
To see you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank
all right,
you.
Man?
You
good
bet.
Job.